You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show
up! Well, who am I?
Show
up! The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
So it's been a great week. Geeksers, as time of recording here right now, we are on Sunday of Comic-Con. So later on in the show, we're going to round out the show with some of the highlights of what we saw at Comic-Con so far. Now, we're not going to have the whole show because obviously it's happening at the moment. But we have on the show today, we got the Comic-Con news. We actually got in our hands anybody who's read the book Ready Player One. Well, Ernest Cline, who wrote the book, actually has a second book that comes out this week. Well, Kylan and Ken and Dawn and Vicky here, we got a couple advanced copies of the book Armada that we're going to be giving you a review for later on in the show. But let's start off the show, Kylan, with what have you guys been doing this week?
Well, we went to see Minions yesterday.
How was it?
It was cute. I mean, I like the Minions anyway, so it was obvious we were going to go see it. But it was cute, and it's funny in the whole Minions humor kind of way. And I know some people talked about how Minions can get annoying with their language and stuff like that. And there's a lot of it near the beginning. But then you have other, you know, quote-unquote humans come into the picture. So you do actually have a plot, and it's a pretty decent plot. And there's some things for adults in the movie, too, you know, because you're going to be there with your kids. There's little nods to things and some geek stuff. So
okay.
I'd say it's good. It's fun. And as well, everyone else cleared out of the theater when it was over and the credits were coming up, but they all had kids with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially if you don't have kids that you have to worry about getting out of the movie for, stay until the very, 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 very end of the credits.
Okay. So it has a post-credit scene now.
It's cute. It's musical. It's fun. Stay.
Okay. So is there anything else you guys have been up to right now, this last 2 weeks?
We've been busy, but not much geek-related.
Yeah. Well, all of us were busy this weekend also, but we'll get to that in a minute, too. But Vicky and I actually had some good fun yesterday as a recording on Saturday. We had to get up at, what, 6 a.m. to leave the house? We went up to Cleveland and filmed a scene in a short film where I got to play a detective.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
It was kind of fun stopping a fight in the middle of a jail cell. So we were actually recording in the Lorain County City Hall and Police Department in their holding cells. They had an officer actually opening and closing the door for us and stuff because it was all electronic doors.
Oh, sweet.
It was fun stuff. And then afterwards, we went over to the University of Akron and actually helped shoot a marketing video for their marketing department.
Cool. Or,
what was that, Vicky? What was it supposed to be used for?
Yesterday afternoon, that was to put on the website for the students to join the program.
Yeah, it was basically an advertisement for their marketing program for students.
What they do and what to expect and things.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a time lapse video.
Yeah, it was interesting the way they're doing this because they had basically it's a commercial, so they had two students that were actually the main people this is about.
Mm-hmm.
So it was being time lapsed. They showed the guy sitting in class pretending to take notes and stuff for what, like 3-4 minutes?
No, it was less than that.
Okay. But then they had the rest of us that were playing students. Actually, he would set the camera for a 10-minute time and then had all of us, like every 2 minutes, we'd walk in and sit down. Then at 2 minutes, we would stand up and walk away and another set would walk in and sit the same seats
we were in.
And then he said once he compresses that down to fit the other video, everything else is going to look like it's going super fast compared to the one guy sitting in the seat.
Cool.
Well, cool.
So we did that in a couple different times, and then they did a couple more like that other places on campus, a couple of the cool-looking spots.
Nice. All right.
So it was a fun time of just walking around. It wasn't really much in the way of acting or anything. It was just be a body.
Right.
So it was fun stuff. That's then we went down and walked around the Italian-American Festival downtown Akron.
That's right.
That was fun.
Cool. Got to see Stray Dog, but then he was out of his mustard.
Yeah, we went and saw, we'll give a shout out to our guys down at Stray Dog in Akron, the hot dog vendor. Anybody who's seen hot dog carts all over the place, this guy is very similar, but they have phenomenal dogs, and he makes his own mustard. It's great. You can only get it from him. So, but yeah, that's what we were doing yesterday. We have another one that we're, all of us were actually involved. Anybody who hasn't heard it yet, if you get this feed, you should have already seen it. Last Saturday, we had our Kylan and Ken Geek Watch 1 first ever special edition, the Doctor Who Dark Journeys episode. Now, we had, if you've not given it a try yet, Doctor Who Dark Journey is a radio drama about Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes. So, they premiered their fifth episode on our show. Once again, I want to thank M.A. Tamburo and Andrew and all the rest of the crew over at AM Audio for allowing us to do this. We also had our friends Rick and Heather and Jesse with us to do a roundtable afterwards talking about all things Doctor Who, not just Dark Journeys.
Right. It was the episode is still kind of stuck with me because there was so much that was going on in with it. It was 18 minutes long,
something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And
I mean, there's no excuse to not listen to it if you're a Whovian or Sherlock fan or Whulock or whatever you want to call it. The entirety of the first series is only an hour,
right?
And in this second series, it was the fifth episode that we debuted, and that was only about 16-17 minutes. And each episode is about that length, so it's not taking a huge chunk of your time, and it's a lot of fun, and it's some great writing and storytelling, and the acting and effects are just phenomenal.
And even if you're not a Whovian or you're not just Sherlock Holmes, but if you like audio dramas, even if you just like audio dramas, like A Night Vale, and I think there's another one out there called Suicide, something like that. If you're into that sort of thing, give this a shot, because they do such an amazing job at AM Media of immersing you in the world with the quality of the just what's going on in the background, because it's not just footsteps. It's, you know, you could hear conversations going on. You can hear like doors opening and closing.
It's a full-on production.
It's a really full-on production
for what they do, and it's all free. That's what makes, I think, it's even more impressive that it's a full-on production. If you close your eyes, you're picturing everything in Victorian England or inside the TARDIS or whatever's going on.
Well, the nice thing, like you said, it's free. Modern day, a lot of times, modern day audio drama, they end up putting it with audio books and things where you're talking $20-$30 for one. But right. This is free, available on the internet. Go out, check it out. Go to amaudiomedia.com. Let me try that again. amaudiomedia.com. It has all the information on where to find the episodes, when new ones are going to be coming out. The next episode is actually going to be... Give me like 10 seconds here to find my notes. Where did I put it? Dawn, you could probably find it faster. Where's it going
to
be?
You can go to geekwatch1.com and look up one of our past posts.
Where can you find that again? Oh, yeah, that's geekwatch1.com.
The next episode, releasing on July 18th, is on the Timey-Wimey Tea Time podcast. And we have links directly from our website if you just go and check out. It was a couple of posts ago. We have the links to all of the podcasts that have had these episodes. And AM Audio Media posts them a few days or a week or so after they've been released on their episodes page of their website on amaudiomedia.com.
Okay, so yeah, there we go. Yeah, so that's July 18th is going to be the Timey-Wimey Tea Time. If you go to July 25th, they have an extra special bonus end episode on our friends over at the Tangibound podcast. They're going to have the final episode for Series 2. And then if you go, that was on July 21st. 25th. On August 1st, on Drinking in the Park, they're going to have the Doctor Who Dark Journey Complete Series 2 Collection all in one show on the Drinking in the Park podcast. So that, but like I said, any other information you want to know, you can either go to geekwatch1.com or to amaudiomedia.com, and we'll be able to direct you to where you need to get to. So, we had one more bit of news for show news. This week, We're actually going to be putting out another special edition. When you're listening to this, is going to probably be on Wednesday night or Thursday. On Saturday, this weekend, which the date will be...
18th.
The 18th of July, we will have... what were we calling it?
A crossover.
Yeah, the Geek Watch 1.
It's Geek Watch 1, Weebie Geeks crossover.
San Diego Comic-Con special edition.
Wrap-up review. Our friends over at Weebie Geeks approached us about would we be interested in doing a San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up show, which was, honestly, originally we were going to kind of do something with this issue, but like we said, Comic-Con is still going on, but when Weebie Geeks records, Comic-Con will be over. Anything that goes on over the rest of the weekend would have already been released, so we can all kind of digest it, break it down, and talk about it. And so that's what we're going to do with our friends at Weebie Geeks, and then you guys get to hear all the goodness. Yeah, so that's not to say that we're not going to talk about some Comic-Con related stuff today. We are.
But we feel like you guys aren't getting enough of us, so we need to do another special edition, and it's a great time to do it with all the huge amounts of news coming out of Comic-Con that we just cannot cover in this episode.
Right, and so you guys, we know that you probably go back and you listen to this 14 times, so now you get an extra time to listen to it too. So
okay, so that covers the show news. Oh, Ms. Dawn, you had some shout-outs. Some guys have been active on our social media and talking to us and stuff, so Ms. Dawn has a list of all the people that have been friends of ours for the last couple weeks.
I do have some news. Just want to shout-out to Dan and JD, who commented on our posting on Facebook about the Han Solo movie. That just sounds kind of weird saying it that way.
How about Han Solo anthology movie?
I think the movie should just be called Solo when it comes out. It should just be called Solo because it makes complete sense. And plus, with it following Rogue One, you have One and you have Solo. Anyways, that in my head, that makes sense. Just want to shout out to Dan and JD for the little bit of conversation we had over that posting. And to our buddy Bart and friend Emily for comments on the Dark Journey posting. And I hope you guys have all caught up. I think, Bart, you said you'd caught up already. And hope you enjoyed the new episode. And Emily, if you haven't caught up yet, come on, get to it. And we have our friend Dennis, who has been active on our page and on our Twitter for a while now. I want to give a shout out and say hi and thanks for the retweets and the shares on Facebook. And we're glad you're, enjoying the news we're getting out there. And the last one is for one on Twitter. He's at Byzantine Rhodes. His name on Twitter is El Cthulhu. And thank you for listening. I saw you posted that you were listening to us the other day and gave you a thanks on Twitter, but we wanted to thank you here too. So there you go.
Actually, there's one more. Garrett, I totally apologize because Garrett messaged us towards the end of last month, and when he messaged us, it went into our other folder instead of the direct message feed. I want to apologize, and because he had some questions regarding Supergirl, and so I just want you to know that we weren't ignoring you, and I'm totally sorry about that.
And there is a bit of Supergirl news coming up anyways with the Comic-Con stuff, so...
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's touch on a little bit of Mother Earth Creations news. There's not a whole lot of news because all things being on the table, Andy and Heather and the girls are actually out on vacation right now. But we can still remind everybody, Con on the Cop is coming up in October. We're having our party Friday night. We're going to have a great time. We have DJ Jack Burton is going to be there, who anybody who listened to the Dark Journeys episode, Rick that was on the show with us is DJ Jack Burton. So anybody who wants to meet Rick, he'll be at Con on the Cob. Jesse and Heather will be there also. We have Clint Vengeful Jedi from over at the Geek Dig podcast is going to be there with us all weekend. Mark and Jin from the Tangent Bound podcast are going to be joining us that weekend at some point also. We have other podcast friends that are possibly going to make it. We haven't confirmed anybody yet. Like I said, as we get confirmations for guests and for other friends that are going to be there, we're going to let you guys know about it.
We do have the the panels and workshops schedule is up. There's still some room in there because we didn't want to fill it completely because we wanted to have some space in there for anybody that wanted to play a game, anybody who still wanted to contact us about a possible workshop or a panel. Or, you know, or something of that nature. But yeah, so if you guys want to hit the website, there's a ton of new entries in there. Check it out. Let us know what you think. If there's something that you want to see and that's missing, message us. Let us know.
Okay. Also, we've not been mentioning it on here, but remember, bring your brownies to the Kylan and Ken Geek Watch 1 party. We're going to have the, what are we calling it now, Kylan? You keep giving one of the names.
Last time you called it the Big Bertha Brownie Bake Off. just a big brownie.
The Big Brownie Bonanza Bake Off. The Big Beautiful Brownie Bonanza Bake Off.
Well, it will be at the Kylan and Ken party. Bring your brownies. We will have a panel of people to judge said brownies, and there will be prizes.
And
we don't know what they are yet.
There will be a lot more details as we get closer in terms of, you know, should you bring them early? How many should you have? Because we're going to have a few people taste test these.
Yeah.
They don't have to be geeky. We're really just looking for brownies. Just brownies.
But if you happen to have a Buckaroo Banzai-themed brownie,
you may have an edge with Kylan.
You might have an edge with me.
Luckily, Kylan won't be the only judge.
Or Star Wars-related ones may give you quite the edge with Ken.
Okay, guys, so I think we're ready to move on past this to one thing that came out this week that was huge that I thought is the Star Wars app on Android and iPhones. This thing is amazing. I downloaded it the day it came out. Kylan, you said you don't have it yet.
I do not.
Is that the one that turned you into Carbonite?
Yeah. Anybody who saw my Facebook this week, you saw there was two Star Wars pictures with me in the Star Wars. One me in Carbonite, and then as my phone goes off, someone decided
someone
to trade cards with me.
Someone didn't silence their cell phone.
Wait a minute. What cards did I get? That was the card trader app going off. Yeah, anybody who plays the Star Wars card trader app, look for GW1 Ken. That's me. I'll trade cards with everybody. Now, who was this?
More like steal my cards.
Well. Oh, Rebel Force Radio. Sweet. Thanks, Jimmy. Okay, let's go back to the show. Now, that's how you run a show.
ADD just kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about what you were going to talk about.
Now, the next app on my phone, the Star Wars app. I mean, it's coming up now, but it's basically it gives you all your Star Wars information in one app. I just turned the sound off. Okay,
not.
When you bring it up, there's three different themes for the app. It's basically the colors that the app is. I chose the dark side theme because it's a black background with all red lines.
Because the dark side's better.
But in the top of the app, that's why. There. No more noise. But on the top of the main screen, you get a weather app at the top, tells you what planet you feels like you're on right now. And as of right now in Akron, Ohio, it's 76 degrees, says feels like Endor. What do you got?
Because, you know, you need to know that.
Birthday cake puked.
Oh, that's again, not everyone's dude, Vicky that got much us of a again. Star Wars fan.
I've been getting you all night. You didn't. You told me to wait till the
to
break to show you the one.
Yes. Okay, so, but the Star Wars app you have at the top, you get your weather, what planet it feels like, you get a countdown to The Force Awakens and all the other Star Wars events coming. As of right now, according to the app, we have 683 days, 15 minutes, 15 hours, 57 minutes until Star Wars Episode 8. Then it just scrolls through. Right now, The Force Awakens, you have 158 days, 15 hours, and 56 minutes till The Force Awakens. You also have a news ticker right underneath it that tells you latest news of what's been happening in Star Wars. Then underneath, you have buttons to go to the official Star Wars new feed. You have GIFs where you go through and show you your moving pictures that you can choose and use for different things. Any official videos from the Star Wars website. It's basically just an overlay that takes you to the content on the website, but it's still a fun way to do it. They have a full soundboard. On here you have selfies, which basically you take a picture of yourself and it puts you into a Star Wars picture. Anybody who's seen us or seen my Facebook, as I mentioned, I took a couple of those already this week. So that's basically the Star Wars app. I see I'm going to be playing with this for a long time. I don't know about if you guys are going to try it too, maybe, but this is a blast.
I'm not much for doing phone apps, like time-wasty things on my phone, so... That's not me. And plus, I'm not that huge a Star Wars fan, so...
Are you
going
to do that to Lucy? Turn her into, like, a Wookiee or something?
I should. I got to get a picture of Lucy and put her on one of these. That would be great. Do we have anything else before we move on, guys?
For news, I don't think so.
No.
I might get in trouble.
Oh. Okay, well, we're going to have our Armada review here in just a minute, so...
We will return to Ewoks, the battle for Endor.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
We now return to Ewoks, the battle for Endor.
Okay, so... We're here, and we were talking about earlier in the show, we're going to review Armada, the follow-up to Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, who, if any of you have seen the movie Fanboys, he wrote that too. So this guy has his geek cred, and he knows what he's writing about.
Well, do you know he's got geek cred? One, any picture you see of him, he's with his DeLorean. He has a DeLorean.
A time-traveling DeLorean.
That's right. That, so. Also, anybody who's heard of the AT&T, the Atari documentary about finding the Atari graveyard and the E.T. games, he directed that and was actually behind the project to find the Atari graveyard. So this guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to 80s pop culture.
Yes. Now, this book, it's not a sequel. It's not a sequel to Ready Player One. It is features new characters and a completely different story, but you can still feel the voice of the writer coming through.
Yeah, it's obviously the same guy that wrote it. You got everything that you liked. If you liked all the pop culture references, all the references to Pac-Man and Star Wars and everything from the 80s, well, this has a lot of the similar style.
Yeah, I mean, there's Buckaroo Banzai references.
I knew that would get Kyle into something.
Yeah, I mean, there's nods to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Probably even the most obscure 80s TV show has some kind of reference in here. Also, and I don't think this is a spoiler, in the back of the book, there's a soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Well, during the whole book, anytime the kid's playing the game, he's got what... It was his dad's old mixtape called the Raid the Arcade tape. And it's got... Here, I'll name off a couple of the songs that are on the Raid the Arcade mix. You have One Vision from Queen, Crazy Train from Ozzy, Chase the Ace, AC/DC. Let me jump down a couple. Barracuda from Heart. The Top Gun anthem, I Hate Myself, anything that was hot in the 80s is on here, and rock and roll and a little bit of pop.
Now, for anybody that saw the movie Iron Eagle, you remember that Jason Gedrick's character, when he would fly the flight simulator, and even when he was on the mission, he had a mixtape strapped to his leg that he listened to that helped him focus for the mission. And I felt that as I'm reading this. And also, there is also this... I guarantee you that somebody on Spotify is going to compile... They're going to take this soundtrack and reproduce it on there. I guarantee you, because there's one for Ready Player One already.
Yeah.
I guarantee you're going to see that.
If you enjoyed the awesome mix from Guardians of the Galaxy, this is a similar type of soundtrack. The book in general, what it is, since we have not got to it, the general story of the book, without giving you guys any major spoilers, it takes place, he doesn't give a time frame, but it's sometime right around now. So it's a modern time novel. The entire world has been playing this space flight simulator called Armada. It goes with a second game called Terra Firma, which is your ground combat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a multiplayer online space combat game. And it, basically what it is, he's sitting in class, he's a senior in high school, and actually, for another reference, you want 80s culture? The kid's name is Zach Lightman. Now, did you guys pick up the reference on that?
Was that kind of a reference to the character from, what movie was that?
Last
Starfighter?
Nope. Hang on, let me bring this up.
Light Bright Shoes. Light Bright Shoes.
Nope, not Light Bright Shoes. But Lightman is the reference. Now, let me bring it up.
You can just tell us.
I know. Well, I got to get the first name, too. Matthew Broderick's character in War Games.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was... Let me get the first name. His last name was Lightman, but the first name was... Where are we at? Matthew Broderick. David Lightman.
That's right.
Well, in this game, you have Zach Lightman.
Mm-hmm.
So from the very first paragraph, you're already getting references to other movies and books and games.
Right.
The whole idea is he's sitting in class in the very beginning of the book. He looks out the window and sees this flying saucer-looking thing. And he thinks he's going crazy because no one else has seen it. And what it is it's the exact same ship he's been fighting against in Armada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just floating around outside the window. So he, in his head, is doing backflips.
Right.
He doesn't know what's going on. So it turns out, if you read all the... This one's really not a spoiler because it's in the description in the book that aliens are invading the Earth. And that what it is everybody that's been playing this game has been actually unknowingly been being trained how to fly drones to fight against the alien invasion that we knew was coming.
Imagine kind of like what happened to Alex Rogan in The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, well... When I first read, my experience with the book was knowing sci-fi and fantasy and all these, and growing up watching these movies,
mm-hmm.
the book was a little bit predictable at the beginning because you could see where he got his influences and things.
Right.
I looked at it as it's a mix, almost a perfect mix of The Last Starfighter and Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Well, The Last Starfighter is one of Ernie Cline's favorite movies.
Yeah.
And Last Starfighter actually takes things from Ender's Game anyways, so it's already mixed in there.
Yeah,
right.
And that's where he got a lot of his inspiration.
Well, you know, the thing is, we all grew up during that time, or we had enough people who were influenced by that we were exposed to that. Now, I'm thinking that pretty much anybody who was... I'll say 25 and younger, this may not be as predictable for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of it comes down to experience and perspective.
But even with it being predictable,
yes.
I had a great time reading it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great read.
It was.
Because of all the memories it brings back of all the everything else that you've seen, and it's like, wow, it was great the way he used this here and that there.
And
the characters are good. Like, I think... most geeks will identify with Zach to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he is the typical, almost outcast kind of geek guy.
Mm-hmm.
And who, you know, he does this thing in school because he has to, but then he goes home and plays games.
Yeah.
Or goes to work and plays games. He happens to have a job that lets him play games at work.
Right.
And that comes into play big time. But we're not going to spoil that. But, I mean, he's easily identifiable. You don't have to be exactly like him. You don't have to be the outcast geek necessarily or whatever. But just the pop culture knowledge and the games he's into and the music he's into and the movies he watches, you're going to identify with it.
That I also love the way that they explained why he got into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When he was a kid, a baby, he really never met his dad because his dad died before he was a year old. But his mom, instead of a lot of people, when something like that happens,
mm-hmm.
their parents will get rid of every reference to the other parent.
Right.
Get rid of all their stuff. They may have pictures around, but that's about it. Well, this kid grew up did not know. His mom had actually just packed all of his dad's stuff and put it in the attic. So it's all still there. All of his video game consoles, and all his notes, all of his records, all of his clothing.
All of his gaming stuff.
Yeah, and when Zach turns 10, she gives him the key and says, you want to know about it? Because he's been asking about his father, mm-hmm. and his grandparents and his mom have told him about her. But, so he goes up and is actually able to start going through his dad's stuff, and almost like he's learning and meeting his father through his father's stuff.
Right. And a lot of what goes on early in the book, he tries to get it straight in his head in terms of this whole alien invasion thing, but at the same time, he has the conspiracy theory going on as it is, mm-hmm. and influenced by some of the things that his dad journaled about video games and about movies and about being trained by the government and a big conspiracy. And so
his father had been
not way out there for him to be thinking of it.
No.
His father had been researching this because he had thought he saw a pattern here in science fiction movies and video games and things through the 80s and 90s.
Right.
So we're not going to give you much more than that, guys, so you can go out and read this book. I think it's something we should come back in about a month or two after people have plenty of time to read this book and then spoil the crap out of it.
Right.
Right. Now, I will tell you, after reading this, like I've really wanted to pull out my old X-Wing, X-Wing and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter game and my old stick and load it and start playing this again, because the writing, like the combat writing, is the first. I'll say that the first book that I read that featured that heavily was X-Wing by Michael Stackpole.
Yeah.
I believe wrote that. And so, you know, and Michael Stackpole had this great way of being able to give you the feeling that you're actually in the cockpit. And you're experiencing everything that the pilot is experiencing. And Ernest Cline has that ability, too. And it just kind of... even if you're a casual gamer, it makes you want to go and fly a combat mission somewhere.
Very highly descriptive.
Yeah.
When it comes to what's involved with the ships in these games, you know what the ship looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no doubt based on just the basic outer description, but then internally and some of the functions.
Yeah.
How the systems are working. He's very detailed in that regard.
But he's able to walk that fine line, because Dawn and I have discussed this. There are some books out there that are descriptive. I have no problem with being descriptive, but there's a line where it can be overly descriptive. He's able to walk that line where it's descriptive, but just enough so that you're able to still put your own spin on it.
Yeah, it gives you what you need, but doesn't bore you by becoming a lecture on the electronics involved in this particular, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely gives you what you kind of want out of it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's all we're going to go into about Armada this time. Like I said, in another month or two, we're going to revisit this and spoil the crud out of it so that you guys have time to read it.
But there is news about it, though.
Okay, what do you got?
It is already optioned for a movie. Before it came out, when he provided the synopsis to Random House, Random House got it, and Universal Pictures have optioned it. So in addition to already knowing that Ready Player One's being produced as a movie, it's an option, so they may produce it. It's likely they will, but... and then there will also likely be sequels, and it'll become a trilogy.
Okay.
He said for both Ready Player One, especially Ready Player One, he never saw that one as anything more than a single.
Yeah.
But since then, since the book tours and getting feedback from people, he's gotten more ideas on what to do for follow-ups, and he's actually already registered Ready Player Two and Ready Player Three. He registered those as domains already.
Oh!
So he's got them there, sitting there, and he has ideas for follow-up books for that. And Armada, once you read Armada, you'll know this, it's kind of left open for places it can go at the end, and he actually has ideas for two more books to make it a trilogy as well.
Actually, I hadn't thought about that till just now. The way this is left open,
mm-hmm.
it reminds me of the open-ended of the original Ender's Game book, when he did the actual full novel.
Right.
Right.
Just the way it open-ends that you can move on is very similar to where this one leaves you off.
Right.
Now, once you read the novel, you'll understand what I'm talking about, but... Because there's a third movie that this reminds me of, but I'm not going to put that in here because that's going to spoil everything in the ending.
Well, I propose that we, because this will be the first of many reviews that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Every review should have a rating system.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
I'm thinking we should have a brownie rating system. Because that's our thing. Like, these people do stars. These people do, I don't know.
Thumbs up
or whatever.
My friends at Flicks That Kick do action movies, and it's how many kicks does it get?
Right. So,
brownies are our thing.
Brownies are our thing.
I'd say out of five brownies.
Out of five brownies, I will give it 4.5.
That's where I'm at, 4.5 for brownies.
I'm thinking 4.5, too, because it was a little predictable at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But once you get, like I said, it was still a wonderful read. I'm definitely going to go back and read it more than once. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, there's no question if you read and loved Ready Player One, you're going to get this.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time this posts, the book will have been released. It releases on July 14th. Mm-hmm. So we expect you to already have it in your hot little hands.
Be available on Amazon and all your different book retailers. Right. Will Wheaton is doing the audiobook for Audible. Right. So if you enjoyed his reading of Ready Player One, go out and get Armada. He does that Armada also.
Yeah, Armada is one of those books where, and I'm this kind of reader, and I'm not apologizing for it. If I'm in the middle of reading something, and we've been talking about this book ever since we first heard it was coming out, we were jazzed. We've been talking about it for months. Okay, I'm sitting there and I'm reading this book, and something would happen or something would come up that would interfere with my reading time, and I would just get, like, my jaw would get tight. It would cause me stress, because it would happen, like, if I'm in the middle of, you know, the scene where he's sitting in class and he looks out and he says, "What the heck is that?" You know, I need to be digesting that. I don't need to be doing.
You don't need work.
Well, there is one thing I want to put a warning a little bit on this. Parents with young kids, read through the book first, because there is a little bit of language in here. So I would put it probably a hard PG-13 for language.
Yeah, probably. So, and because parents, of some of the situations, too.
Parents, read through it, check it, so that you can talk with your kids about it when you see it. Now, subject matter, there's no problems at all. I don't see any problems with subject matter or content, but there's some language in there, so.
If you have a preteen, young teen who is reading a lot of the general or adult sci-fi sort of stuff already, this is fine for them. Yeah.
So. If they watched anything on FX,
Sci-Fi
Channel, then you know.
So yeah, just wanted to give a warning so that you're not just buying one for your young kids and saying, "Here, read this."
And if anyone out there is interested in more Ernie Klein kind of stuff, he's doing a book tour, obviously, as you do. It's all West Coast, like Oregon kind of stuff, but it makes sense for the book. Hopefully later he'll do a few more. I don't know how often he gets out here. He's in Texas. But hopefully he'll do more of that. He is at Comic-Con, too. He was doing signings and that.
Well, I know a lot of times he's at the different conventions. So
yeah.
He'll probably end up in New York Comic-Con.
So we'll keep an eye out see if he comes to anything for us. But and the other thing, he said, I had followed this interview he did on Goodreads. And they allowed user questions, and someone had asked what else he might be working on that's a slightly different genre. He has, this is a quote directly from him, "I have a coming-of-age story, like Catcher in the Rye or A Separate Piece or Dead Poet Society. I often describe it as Dead Poet Society with Dungeons and Dragons. It's probably what I'll write next, but like the best-laid plans of writers, we'll see what I end up writing."
Yeah.
So that could be quite interesting, actually. Dead Poet Society meets Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget the
See, now I got to struggle with what the next book I read is going to be, because...
You got so into this.
Hold on, guys. What was that, Vicky?
Don't forget the Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Yeah, when you're going to sit and do your Dungeons and Dragons, don't forget the Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Well, actually, there's gamer food mentioned in Armada, so...
Oh, yeah.
He knows the culture.
I'm trying to decide, because I have that Dungeons and Dragons omnibus just sitting next to my desk, and I also have that stack of X-Wing novels. So do I read the X-Wing novels, or do I read Dungeons and Dragons?
Have you read you've read through the X-Wing before?
Most
have you read through
them.
The
Dungeons and Dragons? No.
Well, then start on Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, hey, how about this, Geeksters? Let Kylan know what he should read next.
Yeah.
Post it on our page, tweet us about it, send him a message on Facebook, whatever. Should he read the, is it TIE Fighter, X-Wing?
No, X-Wing series.
Should he read X-Wing books, or should he read Dungeons & Dragons?
You know what? I should go back and read the X-Wing books, too.
No, he should read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
That's an okay book.
And yeah. In the meantime, now, I will tell you, right between now and then, but that's
going to be
four...
You'll catch up on comics.
Yeah, I'll get caught up on comics, because that gives me 3 or 4 days,
you know what?
So I'll be
I'm getting
comics.
A book that you may want to put in the middle somewhere. What? Do you like C.S. Lewis's style when he was writing?
See, I never read any C.S. Lewis.
I ordered a book in the mail from Amazon, written in 1912. It's a C.S. Lewis space trilogy. It's actually science fiction that he wrote back in 1912.
Okay.
I forget what the name of the three books are, but Geek Watch One, Geek Out Loud's book club they do every month. This month's is Out of the Silent Planet. I think is the name of the first book. That's the book they're doing this month, so
yes,
I ordered
it's
out
it. Out of the Silent Planet.
Yeah, but it's about this one character, and it's his adventures on, I believe, Venus, Mars, and one other planet. Because a lot of the turn of the century, 20th century novels of science fiction, remember, all took place in the solar system somewhere. It
right.
was on Mars, or on Venus, or on Jupiter, because we didn't have a lot of knowledge of what those actually
right.
were like.
Right.
So that's where the writers were writing it. So
it's called either the Space Trilogy or the Cosmic Trilogy is what they call it as a whole.
It looks awesome because right now I'm slowly working through when we went to the flea market last week, I actually picked up a stack of Edgar Rice Burroughs' John Carter novels.
Right.
From the 70s, or they were the 70s prints, but they were all written.
Some of those older ones, it's amazing. You read them and you see where all the tropes and the plot lines that come from now.
Yeah.
Because it all started back then, and
exactly.
it was original back then.
Especially in, like, John Carter.
Oh, yeah.
If you read John Carter, and even watch the movie, all the people that had the problems with the movie, like, oh, this is too much like Star Wars. This is too... That's
like,
because
that
Star
first.
Wars and them were inspired
that's
by this.
Right.
But, you know, I have John Carter on my list of movies to watch, because I like Edgar Rice Burroughs anyway. So, but I wasn't sure if it was a case of a bunch of people who have no knowledge of the source material.
Or that it was just a bad movie.
Right.
No, it's a phenomenal movie. Actually, people who like science fiction and are science fiction fans that I've heard reviews and read of, they had no problem with that movie. They loved that movie.
Well, it's just like people took issue with The Lone Ranger. Mm-hmm. Like, we loved The Lone Ranger, and there were people...
Fun.
It was a fun movie. It was true to the character, and I really don't know.
It's a lot of your mainstream people that know these characters from a movie or know from this, or
right.
don't know the actual.
They don't actually know it.
And actually,
story.
This is way off tangent, but there's actually a rumor that Disney actually killed John Carter on purpose.
I heard that.
What it is John Carter came out the same year as Avengers, and there was like one or two other. I think Tron Legacy was that year,
and Lone Ranger was
and
that year
something
too.
Else that was super huge. So these were all movies that were making $1 billion each.
Right.
And when it comes to tax time, the more money you make,
the more money you
gotta pay.
Yeah.
So they needed something to tank so that they could get a little bit less on their taxes.
So they put
all this money into John Carter, mismarketed maybe on purpose, maybe
right.
not.
Maybe not.
Let it die, and then all of a sudden they have less money they have to spend or pay.
But then it's going to be one of those movies, and I believe it is one of those movies that once it hit video, it got the secondary bump, and now people are loving it. I believe we were excited
to
see
that,
it. And it just kind of died in the theater. So we're like, you know.
Well, they had if I remember, they changed names halfway through the marketing. Because originally it was John Carter of Mars.
That's right.
Right.
And then it just became John Carter.
Right.
Because the original book was Princess of Mars.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll do that for a book review here coming up. Maybe we'll do a book review once a month or so. Because I have the book sitting there now, The Princess of Mars.
Yeah.
So we'll do a book club.
It doesn't have to be new books that we review.
Exactly.
There's plenty
That's right.
of old ones that people haven't gotten to that, as geeks, they should.
We do have another preview book possibly coming. We don't know for sure yet.
But we'll announce it when we have it in our hands.
Exactly. So maybe we'll still do a book review every month anyway.
Sounds good. Oh, darn. I got to read
darn,
more.
Oh, darn. Reading.
It's got to be something I'm really interested in, because, like, Armada, I was amazed. I read it in a week and a half.
Right.
For me, that is on turbo.
I know.
It takes me about a month to read a 300-page book. Because
it's a substantial book, too. It's not like it's a short one.
There's other issues. I'm not extremely fast at reading. I wish I was faster, but it just, my brain doesn't work that way.
Right.
But once you've got something you're into,
This one, Ready Player One, I did the same thing. I blew right through it.
Yeah.
I think I don't know anybody in our circle of friends that struggled with Ready Player One. Everybody that read it just devoured it.
Because I
was one of those people. People said, "Have you read it yet?" And I'm like, "Well, no, not yet. You need to read it." I'm like, "Okay." And I'm like, "I have the stack." And think when we finally, you got it, Don got it.
And then comes Loot Crate.
And then it came in Loot Crate, exactly.
And then I'm like, "Okay, I'll read it." And it was just like, what, two sentences in, and I'm like, "Crap."
Well, there was, even in Armada, I know we should be done with this by now, but...
That's fine.
Even in Armada, there was something... Okay, this is the very beginning, chapter one, page two, which... This was the advanced reader copy, so I'm not positive it's going to be page two.
Yeah.
But here's directly from this. This is what actually got me right away. I'd spent hundreds of hours gazing out at the calm, conquered suburban landscape surrounding my school, silently yearning for the outbreak of a zombie apocalypse, a freak accident that would give me superpowers, or perhaps the sudden appearance of a band of time-traveling kleptomaniac dwarves. That last bit got me, because that's one of my favorite cheesy sci-fi movies, and I was like, I'm in.
Well, the name of the name of the drones is 88.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Buckaroo Banzai reference. Right. The computers in the Moonbase not Moonbase Alpha. Starbase Ace. The computers' names. I'm like,
yeah. There's so many little things that'll just tweak something in you, and it's just.
Oh, his
it's like
dog.
You're waiting for it. It's like, oh, there's going to be something else. There's going to be something else.
And the name of the dog.
This, Armada doesn't have, I felt, doesn't have quite as much as Ready Player One.
No.
But maybe it was because Ready Player One was a little bit new in terms of making all of these pop culture references.
Right. I think
and it
what
was expected in this one.
This has as many of the references, but they're not as blatant. They're actually just part of his normal life.
Right.
Whereas Ready Player One, it's more of they're pointing out the references.
A little
references.
More obvious, right.
Yeah, they're being a lot more obvious with this. Is just like you're sitting with a bunch of geeks talking, and it's just part of the normal conversation.
And you know what they're referring to without having to say the title of
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Yeah, Ready Player One, a lot of times, they explain the reference as they make it.
If you guys could be in the Mother Oi Studios, if you just look around where we are, it's a study in that, because in this general area alone, we have Star Trek, Star Wars, Godzilla, Ghostbusters.
Local artists,
Marvel.
Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay, guys, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to shoot a really short phone video. Just doing a quick sweep of the room when we're done recording today, and I'll post it on the website.
Doctor Who, Battlestar Galactica.
All of the references that we are surrounded by when we
Magic the Gathering artwork.
Yes. And the thing is, these books speak geek in the way that we live geek. You know, you may have one main geek and whatever, that is what it is, but there are all these other little things that kind of fit and they fall into place. And it's funny because as I was sitting there and we're talking about this and I'm looking around the room and I'm like, that book and this room and our lives are all just kind of like, they all fit together in that way.
We just get it.
And I think that, you know, I would like to think maybe we'll have mass appeal. But it's definitely, if you're a geek of any type...
You'll identify. Yep.
So we've given our reviews. We want to thank Crown Publishing for giving us this chance to review the book. Hopefully we'll be able to work with you guys in the future and get some more books and try them out also.
Thank you.
As I believe we're wrapping this up, did you guys have any final thoughts on Armada? Or
not real. I just... If you liked Ready Player One, if you're a real geek, if you're into gaming, even if you're not hugely into gaming... You're going to like Armada, so you should definitely pick it up.
I will say that if you're a geek, if you're into sci-fi, if you're into military fiction, this is a book for you.
I just got one thing left to say. Once you read the book, you'll understand. But this is Iron Beagle signing off.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
His eardrums were scientifically altered for world peace. His ears are more finely tuned than yours or mine. He can listen to a podcast from a mile away. He is the most dedicated podcast fan in the world. I do not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the Tangentbound Network. Keep listening, my friends.
Hey, Geeksters, welcome back. Now, from now to the end of the show, we're actually going to touch on there's this little thing that's been happening out in San Diego this past weekend that I don't know if anybody's paid attention at all, but it was Comic-Con International.
No one's been paying attention. It's okay.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It's not been all over the internet and stuff, but in general, though, we have some other news that's happened that kind of goes with the Comic-Con news that we're going to touch on also, but my impression so far of what I've seen out of Comic-Con was actually I'm a little underwhelmed from what I've seen in other years. It seems like because Marvel and some of the other studios that are not there this year, DC Comics had brought everything to the table. That's what we expected. DC Comics and Warner Brothers are going to floor everybody because they're there. But without Disney there, without Marvel there, who else wasn't there? Wasn't it Paramount?
Sony
decided not to go.
I think so.
So you get a lot of the media stuff that usually is there, but it's not. So maybe it's the fact that it feels more like an actual Comic-Con if you look at the news that's coming out. There's a lot of comic book news, which is what you're expecting out of a comic convention. So, but
it's kind of good that it's going back to the way Comic-Con is supposed to be, where it's comic news.
Yeah.
But you're getting a lot more in terms of television news.
Yeah.
And some of the expected movie trailer releases. But
Yeah, because Marvel Television did have a presence there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going to touch on the first one that I saw that I was looking for Comic-Con anyway, which was Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars The Force Awakens had a presence at Comic-Con. Now, I know they talked a lot about the... remember, geeks, we're going to give a gloss over some of the main points now. Come up later this week and this Saturday. Remember, we're going to have that special crossover edition with Weeby Geeks. So we'll be working with them about an actual full-on Comic-Con recap. So today we're just giving you some of the highlights and some of our general impressions. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Star Wars. Now, we didn't learn a lot of new news with Star Wars at the Comic-Con this year, but we saw the behind-the-scenes video, which had some awesome stuff, I thought. Some of just the way they were filming in the hallways and the way the sets were and some of the models and stuff like that was amazing. You got to see a couple shots of like Han Solo on set. One thing that out of that video that caught me, you guys saw the video, right?
I did.
Yes.
Okay. You see Daisy Ridley flying the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
I want to know what that comes in.
Right.
So they show also Han Solo sitting down into the cockpit of the Falcon. Mm-hmm. And just from a general impression I got looking at it, it looked like he hadn't been there for a while, which we know Harrison Ford has not, but
yes.
It looked like the character was sitting down with an old friend for the first time in a long time. So a lot of the rumors about him, maybe he's not been with the Falcon.
True.
Maybe that's actually true, that he's actually stepping into the Falcon for the first time in years.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of that?
It does get you thinking about the possible plot lines because of what they showed, and like, why did they show just these portions, and why? I think it's probably a good guess that he hasn't been in years. Like, that's the feeling I got.
Okay.
And especially with her flying it.
Right.
Like, how does that fit in? Like, it's just, the basics of what you know of her character so far, it's like, how is that? Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot can happen in what we're talking with 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's close to 30 years.
30 years. So a lot can happen in 30 years, mm-hmm. So we don't know what has happened to Han.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I mean, it's like in the trailer when they say we're home. Does mm-hmm. that mean when he first returns to the Millennium Falcon?
That's what I'm thinking. But what'd you have, Vicky?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, maybe they're actually going to do it where they're adult. Well, they're further into adulthood. They're married. They could have kids. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's 30 years down the road. They could have adult kids.
Well, that's something I was going
to... The one trailer was showing that with the lightsaber.
Yeah, where you're handing down the lightsaber. But what was... To touch on where you're at, Vicky, and you said we figure we're about 30 years down the road. You got to think, all these new characters bringing in, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley, and none of them are older than 30 years old.
No, exactly.
None of them were born when the Rebellion took down the second Death Star.
Mm-hmm. And are any of them the children of any of the characters we know?
Exactly. So this is going to be a true new generation that does not remember the old Empire.
Right.
Right.
They've never had to deal with Darth Vader or with the Emperor mm-hmm. or any of these things. So it could be one of those where they've heard the stories. And how do we know the First Order that any of them were actually old enough to remember these people?
Exactly.
So the First Order may actually end up being their version of what they've read. They said, wow, we've had 30 years of war now. maybe now, maybe the way to go is the way the Emperor had it at the beginning, because there was no, because in the Star Wars universe, we know the battles and the fighting, but you got to think, in the galaxy as a whole, it wasn't like that.
Mm-mm.
Most of them went around their daily lives, probably, just having to deal with the day-to-day stuff. They saw the Empire there, they saw stormtroopers once in a while, they might see stormtroopers once in a while, but there weren't, it wasn't like there's people fighting against the Empire 100% of the time.
True.
Right.
That was pockets of resistance, which got strong enough and came together and fought the Empire and took down the Emperor. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't finish the battle right away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, if you've had 30 years of war, these people that are in the movie now have never known anything but full-on war.
Well, and you had from the last trailer when you saw the destroyed ships in the desert.
Yeah,
you
know, on Jakku.
The carcasses of them, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. They've been there a while.
Exactly.
You know, people know that it happened and that they, you know, things fell from the sky, but
yeah, it's going to be amazing to see what people think of what it actually was.
Right.
You could have people that, like here in America, we have the reenactments of battles and stuff, mm-hmm. but we know what was written down, but nobody here that's alive today knows, other than what was written down, exactly what it was like to, like, fight in the Civil War.
Exactly.
Are we sure the war is still going on?
It's pretty sure.
Couldn't it have been a pocket of peace, but that all of a sudden war starts up again, and you've got these 20-some mm-hmm. that have no clue?
Yeah, yeah, that's a possibility also. Yeah, well, what Dawn was saying with the ships that are down on Jakku, those have been there for, so maybe the Battle of Jakku may have been, like, a year, maybe less, after the Battle of Endor,
yeah, you know
and there's been nothing since then on that planet.
Right.
Exactly.
They just know this happened eons ago.
And
so,
we're not going to know till we get like the next clues in the trailer, which apparently is not coming till the fall.
Okay.
That's what Abrams said, that the next trailer is not going to be till fall.
So this is all just us talking, guys, because obviously, as, like I said, during the panel, there wasn't a whole lot of new information. Mm-hmm. We did get to see a lot more of the cast.
Yeah.
Remember at Celebration, we had John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac, and Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Peter Mayhew, and Anthony Daniels.
Yes.
All right. That's all.
Yep.
Well, we had almost the entire cast that was announced when the movie started there this time. They added in, who else was there? Gwendolyn Christie was there this time.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford actually showed up. He was the last one to step onto stage.
Yeah, he was a big hit at the panel.
That was the big, huge surprise.
But I think you had three of the three main ones from the dark side were there, basically.
So it was, it was a great panel. If you go, I know Bleeding Cool News is where I got some of our info, but Bleeding Cool News, I know, has a link to the video where, looks like Comic-Con or Lucasfilm put up the entire, panel on the YouTube so you can watch it. It's like an hour and 5 minutes long or something like that. So you can actually watch the entire Star Wars panel from Comic-Con. And then afterwards, this was kind of cool. They actually, at the very end of the panel, J.J. Abrams tells everybody, okay, well, now we're going to take, the big surprise, we're going to take you to a live Star Wars concert. And basically, they took everybody that was in the hall outside to another venue where they had a live, I believe it was the San Diego Symphony Orchestra,
right.
played a Star Wars concert. And everybody that was in the panel was able to come. I guess they had like an armed escort or something. I'm
the
sure that's
the entirety of Hall H went to the concert.
Exactly. And they handed lightsabers to everybody walking into the concert. I mean, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing the video with the orchestra going and thousands of lightsabers swinging around.
I mean, talk about an exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that was what the main thing from the Star Wars panel. What do you got?
Oh, and the other thing they did mention was that Rogue One
Vicky
starts shooting in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, Vicky got me. Okay.
So that'll be the next mm-hmm. bit of news I'm sure we'll be getting is from Rogue One. The news will come out before the trailer because they're shooting in 3 weeks, so that'll give a good month or two before the trailer
comes
out.
When does Mission Impossible 3 come out? Or 5, 6, whichever one it is.
I think in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, because I believe behind the scenes it's not been confirmed, but it looks like we've not heard a lot about Rogue One. But I believe there's like a gentleman's agreement thing between Disney and Paramount right now that Disney's going to wait to do their major marketing pushes and stuff for Rogue One until after Rogue Nation comes out so that you don't get confusion between the two.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so they'll probably leave it for a while then.
Yeah. So we may not hear anything for another couple weeks until Rogue Nation either does great and dies off some, or if it flops right away, then they're not worried about it.
You've got the big, even bigger push for the Star Wars Episode 7 anyway.
Right. So yeah. So it's like, they'll get the Star Wars Episode 7 info out, then we'll start, I'm sure middle to end of August. I mean, we're going to get news as they're filming, so they're going to get information. That's just the way it is. I mean, look how tight they tried to keep everything on Episode 7, but everything still slipped through the cracks, or some stuff. So that's most of what I had for Star Wars. Next one I had that hits us close to home, because we follow it a lot, is the Warner Brothers television panel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody who listens to our show knows that we love Warner Brothers TV so far when it comes to their to all of the superheroes. So the Warner Brothers TV is, you're talking Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, which is premiering this fall, Legends of Tomorrow, which I believe is still January, isn't it?
I believe so.
So, and then now there's a new one, Vixen, which is going to be on the CW feed, or CW Seed. It's CWSeed.com. It looks like it's CW's website for web series. Everything we've seen on there is about 8 to 10 minutes long each episode. And they have some stuff on there now, but that's going to be premiering on, let me look it up, I got notes, August 25th, Vixen is going to premiere on the CW Seed. It's an animated show about the character Vixen. But you see in the trailer that was released at Comic-Con that Flash and Arrow are going to be in it. You can tell it's Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin doing the voices. Right. Cisco Ramon's in it. There's some of the other ones. So this is part of the Flash and Arrow universe.
And if you pay attention to any of these things, you know that both for DC and Marvel, their animated universe affects and is affected by the live-action stuff, TV and movies. So you kind of have to pay attention to what's going on and...
Yeah. So that begs the question, though. If they allow Vixen to drop into the live action, who do we get to play Vixen?
Oh, there's so many possibilities, though. Don't get us started on that yet.
Hey, Vicky says, tan her up, she'll do Vixen.
I was going to say, she's a bit pale.
Hey, that's why they got spray tan.
I could play orange.
That's so Starfire.
That was just a quick one of Vixen. Anybody who doesn't know, Vixen is actually a hero in the DC comics that she has a magic talisman around her neck that I believe came from somewhere in Africa.
Right.
That when she touches the talisman, she can take on the abilities of any animal. Say she wants to be super strong and very dense and heavy, she could take on the traits of like an elephant.
Yeah.
And can smash cars and stuff. She could take on the aspects of a cheetah and run as fast as the Flash. Things like that.
So it's a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
Pretty varied.
It's going to be really interesting. The next one I have coming up, some of these are just real quick touches on because of the shows aren't out yet. Let's go ahead and move over to Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Now, Legends of Tomorrow is a direct spinoff of Arrow and the Flash.
And we brought it up a few episodes ago when we were talking about the new fall shows coming up. When they had the trailer out for it. So this was just kind of giving a little more detail about it.
Then I have two different articles that I've found. Once again, I got most of mine from... We were so busy, if you guys heard earlier in the show, Vicky and I yesterday, that I didn't get a whole lot of prep ready. But I went to Bleeding Cool this morning and pulled all kinds of good stuff up. But the two major things I found about the Legends of Tomorrow from the same panel was... Firestorm. We're getting a new half of Firestorm.
Which we expected, because Amell was not listed in the cast credits.
Exactly.
Right. We were wondering if what happened to him
if they in the got season separated finale. The season finale of Flash, whether something happened there.
He actually died.
So.
You know, actually, we're wondering, because the one I have here, Geoff Johns was actually on the panel, and he revealed that Hawkman will also be seen during... Legends of Tomorrow with Hawkgirl.
Cool. But they haven't said anything about plot-wise how it's working. If you know, there's a couple different versions of the Hawkman, Hawkgirl story, so there's different ways it can go.
Well, I don't know the way that I believe it's Earth 2 Hawkgirl.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they're using in the show, so I'm not sure how that works with Hawkman.
Right. We'll have to wait and see.
What you got?
Does that make him a crazy stalker?
Actually, if you read Hawkman, that's pretty close to right on. If you look at some of the versions of Hawkman and Hawkwoman.
Some of the versions, he's a stalker.
Yeah, when they get reincarnated, one of them starts stalking the other until they accept it. they get together.
It's kind of like one of them knows they should look for the other, but the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
And it kind of switches back and forth.
So some of it gets a little creepy, but...
Yeah.
And it says here also that during the first half of Arrow and Flash, you're going to have some of the setting the table for Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've done a little bit of it already. Right. Not much, but a little.
Well, I heard something that Amel is actually going to be part of Firestorm in Flash.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's where you find out exactly what happens, and then it leads to Legends of Tomorrow, where it's a different...
Yeah, right. So we're going to get that in the first half of the year. You're also going to have stuff like revealing... remember the end of Arrow last year, the top of Palmer Research explodes.
Right.
And so you get to find out how Ray Palmer survived. Obviously, he survived. Spoilers, everybody. But if you know anything that's coming up, he's part of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you saw in the trailer, like, he shrunk.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. He kind of gave that away in the trailer, right. Actually.
Yeah. So he will be part of Arrow, at least in the first half of Arrow this year.
Yeah.
Ray Palmer will be back and as the Atom. Also, Sarah Lance will be coming back in Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
To explain what happened to her. Now, Katie Lotz actually pointed out that no one comes out of a Lazarus pit the same.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's true.
Which is why you're not going to have... she says the character has no fear of death, which gives her a very reckless abandon. So you're going to have a little different version of Sarah Lance, which is why you're not going to have to worry about two black canaries.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't think she's going to be black canary.
She's white canary.
She's white canary,
yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from. Also, it says, Vandal Savage, being an immortal, the team is actually going to face up with multiple eras of him.
I could
so
see that,
the
yep.
show, the it's going to be obviously a short show, we know that for Legends of Tomorrow, but it's going to take place in multiple eras. It's
well,
not going to be all at one time.
You already knew it was going to have time travel aspects.
Yes.
So
that touches on Vixen, some of the Legends of Tomorrow news. Let me see, I had one more. I don't know if I, did I cover the other one? Yeah, that covered all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Next one I had up, well, let's stay in the Flash and Arrow universe. Let me bring up...
Which one do you want first, Arrow or Flash?
Let's go to Flash for the moment, because this is a pretty big one. They've revealed who the big bad guy is going to be for Season 2. The big bad... Now, anybody who doesn't know Flash, the reverse Flash that we saw on the show, there's been multiple reverse Flashes in the history of the Flash.
Right.
You have... I'm drawing a blank.
Eobard Thawne.
Eobard Thawne is the one most people know about.
Right.
There's another one called Dr. Zoom. That's
Professor
who's
Zoom.
Actually going to... Or Professor Zoom.
That's right.
He's going to... That's the actual villain for Season 2.
Okay.
So, and then there's a couple of other ones running around out there, too. But they revealed that Professor Zoom's going to be in Season 2 of Flash. Mm-hmm. Tom Cavanaugh will still be in Season 2 of Flash.
Yeah, Harrison Wells is in Season 2.
Exactly. Now, it's going to be interesting... with him... Wait, it says...
I got a couple of things about Harrison Wells, actually, from interviews.
Okay.
At Comic-Con. Tom Cavanaugh, when asked about it, said, "I'd say we've come out of the gate already in filming, and I've been a part of that." Grant Gustin actually said, right out of the gate, "Wells and Barry won't interact at all. Wells is on the show, but we're introducing the multiverse concept, so that's why he still exists somewhere." That's
so we may have a Earth 2 or Earth 3 Harrison
exactly.
Wells.
Well, I mean, because we know that Eobard traveled back in time, you know, and manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we may actually get Wells.
That's what I'm thinking we're going to get as well.
So.
Okay. So a couple other just quick things with Flash, because we got a lot of news we're trying to cover here. It's been confirmed Wally West will be coming to Central City.
Right.
Now, we don't know anything about it. We don't know who's playing him.
Nope.
How old he's going to be. Is he going to be the biracial Wally West from the New 52? Which everybody's assuming.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing Wally West, he's got to be related to Iris somehow.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
Iris,
that would make sense.
Yeah. So you never. He's either going to be black or biracial, something like that. Also, it's been confirmed we're getting Jay Garrick.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's going to be
cast.
The Earth 2 Jay Garrick. So he's going to show up on the show. He will be the Flash also.
Right.
Now, more than likely, it'll be the old Flash with the tin helmet and the blue pants and things like that, more than likely.
Right.
I'm hoping we get the World War II era Flash.
The line they gave about his description is, "Jay is a mysterious figure who arrives in Central City to warn Barry Allen and his team at Star Labs of an impending danger that he alone cannot hope to stop."
Okay.
Which, apparently, he was on his way there because... His helmet came flying
exactly,
out.
Exactly, his helmet arrived.
And you notice Eobard Thawne's like, "Well, that's my cue to leave.
Gotta go."
I just can't wait to see how how the attack will look. You know how he'll take his helmet and he'll punch,
mm-hmm.
and you know he does the sonic attack, yeah. the sonic attack. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if they
and
actually bring that in.
And we have casting for Patty Spivitt as well.
Yes. Now, do you know who that is?
She's a police officer and okay. science enthusiast who becomes a love interest for Barry.
Yeah, in the comic book, she's actually his partner.
Apparently she's partnering with Joe West.
Okay. Let me bring it up. I brought up the wiki earlier. She was actually introduced in September of 77.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's, through the years, been a partner of Barry, a love interest sometimes. There's all kinds of stuff all through here of her. So it's going to be interesting to bring another character out of the comics.
And they've cast her. It's Chantel Van Santen, who's
okay.
who's been on a couple of recent shows, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Wait, I had that one up here, too. And then the other one major casting on it is they cast Jay Garrett, but...
Teddy Sears.
There he is. From American Horror Story, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, he was okay. He was in American Horror Story.
But we could pretty much say that, remember a couple weeks ago, they were casting someone with a square jaw,
yep.
and a classic superhero look. More than likely, that's who they were looking for.
If you look at his picture, he does fit kind of a classic look.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Okay, so from Flash News, I'm sure there's more. We'll get more as we go. But let's go into Arrow News. Arrow, they revealed a brand new suit for Arrow.
Yes.
Also, he has a new name and a new city.
Right.
Because Stephen Amell sent out a tweet talking about Green Arrow.
Yeah, he called it Green Arrow when he posted the picture.
When he comes back, he will be Green Arrow. And they now have Star City, not Starling City.
Right.
And also in the... The artwork they showed for it showed a lot brighter city in the background. It's not all dark and gloomy and stuff. So it looks
apparently they're going to take the comic book version of Green Arrow a little lighter and that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm. Also, they mentioned two other heroes that are going to be in the show at some point is Anarchy, which I know very little about. And Dawn, you said you did some research. There's not a whole lot.
There's not much out there, even on the DC Wiki about it. It's a teenager who appreciates the concept of anarchy and creates gadgets and such to disrupt government and daily life. So that's really all they have out there.
The other one is people, fans of Justice League Unlimited and the comic books in general are going to remember Mr. Terrific.
Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. Mr. Terrific is coming to the show. I don't know if it's just a one-time shot or not, but we'll find out when he's on there.
And there's also news that Diggle is getting a new costume as well. He has a new costume.
Yeah, he actually has a costume, and it said he has a helmet.
Yes.
Yeah, the helmet kind of reminds me of almost a scaled-down version of, I would say, I can't think of his name. The guy that's, he's a cop in the future, has a big motorcycle.
Judge Dredd?
He has, this visor, and I don't know if but the version I looked at almost looked like the cover of his whole head, but there's his visor. And there's speculation that maybe he gets it from Star Labs.
Okay.
Which would give him extra kind of potential power
yeah.
right.
with it.
The costume itself almost reminded me of almost what Star-Lord wears, because there's pants and shirt and a jacket, and he has a gun.
Okay.
You know, but you know...
Well, that's because he always has a gun.
Yeah, but you know, Diggle can handle himself, mm-hmm. With or without, anyway. So, I'm excited to see him suit up. I know they were hinting at him...
Well, at the end of last season, Ollie told him to protect himself.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, and they made a bit of a joke about it. So.
Well, then again, you know, he may get it from... It's not Checkmate
Palmer.
Anymore.
He may get something from Palmer.
Something from Palmer, you know.
Exactly.
She owes him a few favors, I get the feeling, so.
Well, a couple other just quick tidbits is it says that Speedy will get a leather suit that more fits her.
Yeah, she'll
So it's
she'll
confirmed
have a
that pretty much
too.
She is Speedy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thea will be Speedy. And also, Malcolm Merlyn will be back in the Dark Archer costume.
And
so we're not
John
done
Barrowman,
with Roz.
John Barrowman said he's not positive about the costume yet, though.
Hmm.
That's
but
what...
it does confirm we're going to get more Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Because at this point, remember that he is Ra's al Ghul.
And Barrowman's a regular cast member. So.
Yeah. Okay.
The only other thing, I know it was released a while ago, and he'd already been on, and we knew who he was, but just to confirm that Neil McDonough is Damian Dark.
Okay.
The big bad for Arrow this season, and if you don't know the name, you will recognize the man if you especially Marvel, because he's played Dum Dum Duggan in for the past while in Captain America and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, He won't have the mustache and stuff, so, you know, he might not recognize that bit.
Okay.
And I saw something interesting about it, though. Someone raised the point, because there's a question of him being someone important, is he possibly Felicity's dad?
Oh, ooh, that would be interesting.
So that's something to think about.
I don't remember. Was Felicity... no, she knows her mom, so she's
never
orphaned.
They said it was going to be a reveal when it was said who her dad was. Hmm. And that's the question. Is it possibly him?
That could be interesting.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah.
And remember, through Damian Dark, we're going to actually have the introduction of magic into the DC television universe.
Right.
So, okay. Next, let's move on to Supergirl. Now, a lot of Supergirl news has already come out. But they confirmed a couple things at Comic-Con. One, there's mostly they confirmed some of the villains. Things like Livewire. Anybody who remembers the Superman animated series, Livewire was created for that show. Lori Petty actually did the voice of it. It was awesome. But she's basically an electricity-based hero, or villain, that can travel through electric lines. She can throw lightning bolts, things like that. Also, we have Reactron, which I know is a newer villain for Supergirl. Did you look up, do you have the information on her?
I did look him up. He's been associated with the Nuclear Legion and with the Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Nuclear Legion was apparently hired by the Secret Society of Supervillains to invade Bloodhaven and assist the Nuclear family in recovering a source of a radiation leak. And he's gone on to actually fight Supergirl numerous times, but she's never been able to stop him for good.
Okay.
So there's not a huge amount about him.
About the power set or anything?
No. there's like very little about him on the wiki.
Well, we're gonna have to do some. We'll do some research, guys, and we'll figure it out and let you know later on, probably when we get closer to the show. Mm-hmm. But also, they mentioned that now I'm gonna butcher this name, Peter Facinelli.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's not bad. He's going to be playing Maxwell Lord. Now, Maxwell Lord's been around for a long time in DC Comics. It says here that he's a character best known for his days against the Justice League, but also he killed the Blue Beetle in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which Blue Beetle he killed, but probably the original.
One of them.
Also, there's the other potential villain that's been... Well, we know the Lumberjacks in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank Henshaw, everybody knows that... That's been following this show, that he's going to be in the show. He's in charge of the DEO.
Right.
So there's a chance he will become a villain during this show. Well, obviously, he will during the show, because you can't have him on there without having Cyborg at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Have the Cyborg. Well, in the comic books, he becomes a Cyborg Superman. So
right.
I don't know if he's going to be Cyborg Supergirl. Or actually, Superman is in the show. I've read some articles where it said that, where I believe it was either Kreisberg or Berlanti was talking about how Superman is part of the show, but you're going to get a glimpse of like him in silhouette once
in
a while.
Yeah, it's from a distance
exactly.
And references. It's not directly, really.
Yeah, it'll be once that it's something extremely special if he does show up.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they just don't want him to take the... You know, the spotlight off of Supergirl. It's not the point of the show.
Yeah.
Right.
And more than likely, Warner Brothers wants to keep as far away from Superman from this as possible with
because then they
the
have to
movie
figure
franchise
out casting
going.
And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I had on
Supergirl. Because you got the dark and brooding movie, and then the TV show is actually going to be.
That's exactly where I'm headed. Executive producer Andrew Kreisberg, the last thing I had on Supergirl right now is he said that the series is going to be heavily influenced by the Richard Donner Superman.
Right.
Movies, which for me, that's phenomenal. I love those movies.
Yeah.
The original Richard Donner Superman movie is still my number one favorite superhero movie of all time.
Right.
I thought they got that, in my opinion, that was the perfect way to do a Superman movie. And to this day, the effects and stuff still hold up for most of the part.
They really do.
They
yeah.
do.
And also, they're looking to bring light into the world. So this is going to be a lot lighter, a lot... It's going to be a Supergirl show.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not going to be like the... And for me, the Man of Steel movie was a Batman movie with Superman in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the tone that you got for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, pretty much. They're not going to do the emo anymore?
Well, not on TV. So that takes care of most of the... let me double check my list. I believe that's most of the television news we had on DC Comics from the Warner Brothers TV panel. Now, Warner Brothers had... obviously, like I said, the Warner Brothers and DC were the only major comic book company and that was actually there. They had movie news. I'll start just a real quick one was they announced, or I don't know if it was at Comic-Con, but it was released this week, that Green Lantern movie. It's going to be released on June 19th of 2020, so we still got another 5 years till we get there. But it's actually going to be the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
So why?
Why?
Because by that point, they can genetically engineer the actors to look like the creatures.
They need that long for the scientific experiments.
Exactly, without doing the CG.
There you go.
That's right. You can have a Kilowog. Oh my god, will be a Kilowog.
You just stole it from me. You're not allowed to do that. Kilowog is my favorite. But no, that's why the rumors have been running around for a while that you're going to have... because Earth has four different Green Lanterns that are actually part of the core. There's a fifth one, but he's a totally different... Alan Scott's a totally different thing. He's not actually he's not part of the OA Guardians and things like that. So I got to do some research to figure out how he fits in.
Right.
But it looks like we're going to have at least three of the Earth Green Lanterns.
Right.
You'll have Hal Jordan, you'll have Guy Gardner, and you'll have Jon Stewart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm hoping they'll put Kyle Rayner in there, too, but
Other thing is, though, calling it Green Lantern Core means they're going beyond Earth. So you're not just going to have those three. You'll have some of the aliens who are part of the Green.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to take the TV show and turn it into a live action.
Oh, the animated show?
That's it. That's it. They're going to take that, and M. Night can do it.
No. The show was good, though. The animated movie was good.
You take an animated awesome and
try not to screw it up.
Shoot me.
Well, the thing is, the animated series was so awesome. It was actually it was based in the world of the movie that no one liked.
That's true.
I liked the movie, but then I did not mind
the movie too much. It had its problems, but honestly, I don't think it was as bad as people rip it for.
I can't say that. See, the thing is, I'm a hardcore Green Lantern fan, and
see, that's just it. I was coming into it not as a huge Green Lantern fan.
I'm also a huge Green Lantern fan, but I had a good time. I don't know a lot about Hal Jordan. My Green Lantern was Kyle Rayner. We've been over this,
right. Yeah,
and he wasn't in that movie.
See, honestly, Jordan forward,
The smart aleck side of Ryan Reynolds in that movie, to me, was a little more Kyle than Hal. Like, Hal, to me, has always been more serious.
Yeah, you know what? Hal was a little more... he is a little more serious.
Yeah, the personality they gave him in that movie could have been either Kyle, or he could have actually twisted just a touch and had Guy Gardner.
Yeah, he could have.
And make it a little more snarky.
I think that's what got most people. It wasn't the fact that it was the crazy suit and CG and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think part of it was the personality of Hal was not Hal.
Right, yeah.
We're going to get another take on all of them in 2020, and hopefully we'll actually... nice thing is, that's 5 years in the future. They have 5 years to actually build who are the Lanterns through Justice League and some of the other ones, so that you don't have to have an origin in this movie.
Well, that's just it. The Justice League movie's coming out before that.
Exactly.
So you'll already be introduced to at least the primary Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
As long as they have Razor.
Yeah, she wants to see the Red Lantern Corps bring Razor back in.
I would love to have the Red Lantern Corps in it. Oh my God, yeah.
So that covers that one. I don't know how much news. I didn't see a whole lot of news from Suicide Squad, but we did get a trailer that if you look, you could find a really fuzzy, terrible one on the internet somewhere.
Hopefully, I believe I posted it on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Hopefully, eventually, we'll get a good one. The main one I took out of that was I was talking to Dawn and Kylan earlier that I'm not sold on Joker. I don't know if I like this look for Joker. It just doesn't... Something doesn't right.
I mean, generally, I like the trailer. It gives a good little how-they-came-together sort of synopsis for the movie. But, yeah, the Joker in it, I'm still not thrilled with the look. And he kind of seems to have the good personality of Joker the way it should be. I don't really like the voice he's given him, either. So,
but then again, like I said, Geeksters, we've only seen like a 10-second clip of Joker. He's in the very end of that trailer, so...
And as we know from everyone having this experience, the trailer can have, you know, nothing on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember, a lot of it is they're still shooting Suicide Squad. So it's not like this is the polished version of what's going on in the film. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, we have a whole year worth of... Because it's coming out next summer.
Right.
So we have a whole year for them to continue and get this up and running. Oh, you look like you had something on your mind.
No, I was just thinking pudding.
Actually, didn't I see that someone... there's a shot in there where... was that artwork? That she's wearing... Harley's wearing a necklace that says pudding.
That says pudding.
That's going to be sweet.
That's because Jared Leto, evidently on set, he's like Joker completely all the way around. And has sent some twisted gifts to his co-star.
Yeah, he's completely in character all the time, apparently.
Like, that would be crazy. A strange character to try to get into.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of scary.
Yeah.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, let's open up a box to body part.
Wow, we're sorry, Geese. This is going to be a long episode, but this is we have a lot of stuff to cover here. So that covers, I think, the Suicide Squad for the moment. The only other one we got from the Warner Brothers stuff was this little thing, the movie that's coming out next winter that maybe had another trailer.
Yeah, there was something about some bat or something. I don't know.
Geezers, we got the Batman vs. Superman full-on trailer at Comic-Con this year. Now, most of you should have seen it by now. If not, stop, go to YouTube, look it up, it's there. And it's been officially released on YouTube, so it's not like you're trying to find someone that
unlike Suicide Squad and some other ones, it wasn't something that was filmed at the panel and then put up surreptitiously, and the lawyers are going to take it down as soon as they can. This was official.
Yeah. So, the Batman, there's some major plot points, a lot better than the ones that were put out on this. Mm-hmm. You can see why they show that the first major one is Bruce Wayne was actually in Metropolis when Batman was fighting Zod.
Superman was fighting Zod.
Yeah, when Superman was fighting Zod.
Yes. You see him holding the little girl, and it says Wayne Enterprises destroyed behind him.
Yeah, the Wayne Financial Building was one of the ones destroyed.
That was the one destroyed.
But, yeah, you can see that he's from blocks away, and you just see heat vision destroying buildings. So they're going to actually deal with the fact of what Superman did.
Right.
By destroying
and
the
city. And that gives
city.
You the main premise of why Batman is a little upset with Superman.
Exactly. So this... What?
That's like the same storyline they're doing with like Captain America and all those guys. It's the exact same. It's... like...
the repercussions of...
Well, no. It's,
the battle.
It's human against people with powers.
Yeah, Marvel.
That's not really the way they're setting up the storyline, though.
Yeah.
It's not human versus alien. It's some people aren't liking Superman because he's an alien, but it's not like going into Marvel with the registration and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, this one, they're just like, well, we're going to take you down.
Possibly, because...
the metal costume that Batman comes dropping down in.
Yeah.
Well, he has to have something to fight him in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then, interesting thing is, the way this is set up, which a lot of people figured this was going to be anyway, it's an older Batman that's already retired.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a lot closer to the Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is what everybody was calling anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but watching this movie, or the trailer, I am a little more interested in it than I was at the first trailer. But there's parts of it, like you get to see Wonder Woman running around. You get to see Diana Prince without the Wonder Woman suit.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, what are the chances Bruce Wayne's married with kids and the girl he was holding was his kid?
There's a chance, but I doubt it.
No.
I think it was just a random girl that was sitting there that got...
Bruce Wayne doesn't get
collateral
married.
Damage.
Mm. I don't think they're going to change the character that much to have him married.
Well, he never married, but he did have kids. Or at least one.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but...
Well, in a way, he's had adopted kids.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Not in a way. He actually did... He full-on adopted Jason... Well, I don't know if he adopted Jason, but Dick Grayson was is technically adopted by him.
Well, right. This new Batman... Or this new Robin's supposed to be a girl.
Probably. Mm-hmm. That's another one that everybody thinks because of Justice League or Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
In the Dark Knight Returns, there's a girl Robin.
Yeah, it is a girl Robin.
So. But it's going to be... The jury's still out on this, Geeksters. I'm still not sure which way I'm going to go. I'm going to go see it. That's just the way it is.
There's plenty to see in the trailer. Just go ahead and watch it over and over and over.
Yeah. We'll go on a Sunday and watch a matinee. It's okay.
No, I'll be there Thursday night on the preview. That's just the way it works.
Only if they have, like, really, really cool, like, freebies, like we did with
Dress World, yeah. Okay, so that takes care of that. That's all I had right at the moment, because I know you guys have a lot of the other ones that I had also. So,
Well, I think if we stay on trailers real briefly, we had a couple other TV trailers that came out. There was Ash versus the Evil Dead, which looks like a crazy cool show that's starting up with, of course, Bruce Campbell reprising his role as Ash. And so it's absolutely a great trailer to watch. There's also a new show called Outcast, which is a Robert Kirkman, so fans of The Walking Dead will likely enjoy this one.
He has two new shows coming this season?
Yes.
That's a busy man.
And it's based on the comic book. If you haven't read it, it essentially is about possession. It's a guy who is searching for answers as to why he's regularly getting possessed throughout his life.
Is there a certain channel getting it, or have they announced that?
It's coming in 2016. That's all I saw about it.
I think I've heard something. That's pay TV.
It looks nice and creepy, and it could be cool. A couple of the other things for BBC fans Sherlock had their teaser trailer for the Christmas special. That's the next time you're going to see Sherlock and Watson. And it's actually set in the Victorian times. So it kind of takes slightly a bit of the attitudes of Sherlock and Watson, but it's a Victorian, so it returns to the original source material of Sherlock, right, more than anything. But the trailer's really cute, and it's snarky, and it still has their attitudes in it. And of course, the one that a lot of us had been waiting for, Doctor Who. They had the full-on trailer for the next season.
Any idea when that's coming to Netflix? The last series?
No idea.
Because I still haven't seen any of that yet.
Typically, it's not long before the new one starts.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they don't release it right away when it ends. So, the new one is starting at least on BBC One on September 19th. And I think last year, I remember them starting at the same time.
They do that on purpose, actually. One of them, they did the exact same time within the same hour.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because...
It was within a couple of hours because of the time difference.
It was the time difference. But they
started doing that actually on purpose because at one point, Doctor Who was the most pirated show on the internet.
Yes.
Right.
Because they were releasing it months ahead of time.
Well, and plus, they have the Christmas specials. And so you have to have everything lined up in time to have your Christmas Day special.
The one they did release all at the exact same time, because I remember sitting at, like, I forget what it was...
That was for the anniversary.
Yeah.
They were releasing it at the same time.
Or whatever it was. We had the part.
The trailer is awesome. Whovians, you're going to love it. It's got, you know, Clara and the Daleks and Missy. And it's got new characters and plenty of other older ones. And a glimpse of a planet that looks like it could be Skaro.
Hmm.
Which, if you don't know, that's the home of the Daleks. I
see maybe another special edition with a round table coming.
I think we have to when this comes out,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
since we
it's
do happen to have a round table of Whovians.
Few minutes worth of detail there on the new series. So those are some of the basics. And then now I get to do my Deadpool download. Because
we didn't come up with a soundbite for that.
I know! Still haven't. Another one of the leaked trailers that was shown at Comic-Con, and it was filmed by someone in the audience and is really crappy quality, but it's there, was Deadpool. They had a panel that involved essentially the entire cast, except for the one who plays Colossus. He was the only one not there, but... Everyone else was there.
Now, is there a new actor playing Colossus?
Yes, they released that a while ago.
Okay.
It is a different Colossus.
Yeah, I've never watched the X-Men news much.
Apparently, it was a very R-rated panel. Mm-hmm. They didn't hold back on the cursing, etc. But just a few quotes from it. It's everything you love about comics. It's a guy who breaks the fourth wall. It's the most faithful representation of a super suit ever. You have the merc with the mouth who's doing his best to annoy everyone around him. And someone did say, the mouth is at no times sewn shut. referencing the little horrible little presence of Deadpool in another certain movie that we don't want to remember. there is a Stan Lee cameo, of course, and it's a rather interesting one that I'm not going to tell you about because it could be considered spoilery. Ryan Reynolds, he actually gave an interview afterwards, was talking about it and talking about how unique Deadpool is because he's aware he's in a comic book movie. It's not just like when he's in the comics, he's aware he's in a comic. He's aware he's in a movie this time. And, you know, breaks
that
the fourth
could be
wall,
interesting.
Addresses the audience directly. It's exactly what any fan of Deadpool expects. Mm-hmm.
So
read the comic.
So is he actually going to be part of the X-Men universe, or is this a totally separate?
At the moment, it's separate. I mean, it depends where it goes, and of course, they don't have all the plot details and stuff. So at the moment, it's its own thing. If you go ahead and go to our Facebook page, as long as it still exists at the time. I did post the leaked footage, the leaked trailer.
You did save it just in case on your hard drive, right?
Yes, I did, actually.
Okay, so you can always put it back on our Facebook once it disappears.
I'm hoping there's going to be a release of the trailer somewhere else. It'll have to be a red band version because there is language even in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's not
lots
safe for work, all that, but there's language, there's violence, there's everything that's perfect about Deadpool in the trailer. And I got goosebumps when I saw this thing. I was so excited about it. So, that's my little
And there's there's a request as he's about to receive his treatment that don't put him... Well, if they put him in the super suit, don't make it green and don't animated.
That's right.
Yeah. And so I'm like, oh.
They definitely don't pull on punches on
Ooh,
this.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. It's highly anticipated, and it's the one thing I would have loved to have been at for Comic-Con was that panel. But
yes.
Yeah, so it's out there if you want to look for it. What else do we have?
I think it's what you had on your list. Are we ready to move on to Kylan?
There were a couple of comic things, weren't there?
Yeah, Kylan had a couple things. Now, a lot of guys, Kylan's major one is probably going to be covered on his other show. Plug your other show so that people, geeksters, can come see you.
I'm the third seat on Mighty Marvel Geeks. Which is on, it's on Wizard Radio on Saturday. And also we release on the site on Weeby Geeks on Sunday. So at 6:16, and if we're lucky, we'll release at 6:16 in the morning. And if for some reason it's not in the morning, it's 6:16 that evening. So check us out. And we're also on Facebook as Mighty Marvel Geeks and Weeby Geeks. And I believe on Twitter it's Marvel Geeks.
Okay.
So
most of the major getting into details of this is probably going to be on Mighty Marvel Geeks this week. But
yeah.
What do you have for the headlines, Kylan?
Well, actually, just one thing. And this is something that's coming out from the Secret Wars event that's going on in Marvel right now. There was a precursor to S.H.I.E.L.D. within the Marvel Comics. It was called Atlas. And so this team will actually get a one-shot because of Secret Wars. This team had existed back in the 50s, and the team consisted of Gorilla Man, M11, Namora, Venus, and Marvel Boy. And in this particular book, they form an underground resistance against Baron Zemo. Their leader, Jimmy Woo, who was a member of the Howling Commandos, and also was one of the original agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it first started, is captured. And the agents are called in to rescue him. So the question is, do they succeed? We don't know. And, you know, there's some question about the origins of Agent Coulson. Maybe he shows up. You know, cause
there's a lot of questions about Agent Coulson.
As Agent Coulson says, it's all connected. So, there you go.
And actually, there's other comic news, not necessarily Marvel-related. There was one quickie about Joss Whedon. He's actually returning to comics with a 6-issue series called Twist that he describes as a Victorian female Batman.
Okay.
So knowing the way Joss especially writes strong female characters, I'm interested in seeing what that's all about for sure. We also have...
This goes on the pull list then, right?
I'm thinking it does. We also had... what did I tell you about? There was a G.I. Joe Street Fighter?
Yeah, there's a G.I. Joe Street Fighter
crossover.
Was that the one that's going to be written by... Oh, no, that's another one.
Oh, that's another
one. Larry Hama is writing.
That's where I was going for the next one.
It'll feature heroes from both universes to stop the combined forces of Cobra and Shadaloo.
Yes. Now, okay. See, the funny thing is, back in the 90s, there were crossover action figures with G.I. Joe and Street Fighter.
Well,
so this is nothing really new, per se. But I think it's new for you to see it in the comics.
Yeah.
But it is something that was present in geekdom, mm-hmm, on some level anyway. So.
And then in other G.I.
Joe. Yeah, the other G.I. Joe news was, I didn't read the whole story, but I read, I saw the headline that Larry Hama is returning to G.I. Joe for an 8-part miniseries.
Yes, it's bi-weekly, actually,
yeah.
So it's going to be a couple times a month.
And if I remember right, wasn't Larry Hama one of the original creators of what the modern G.I. Joe?
He started it all.
Because
I was reading this G.I. Joe, a history of the action figures, he had created the basic concept of G.I. Joe as a series called Fury Force, which was going to be a special ops team led by the son of Nick Fury. But Marvel decided to sit on it, and when Hasbro was like, hey, we have a toy, we need a way of marketing it, how about a comic book And they're like, oh, hey, we got an idea here. And then that's how we ended up with...
Yeah, that was when they decided to redesign G.I. Joe.
Right.
Because you remember, G.I. Joe was around back in the 60s, mm-hmm. but it was his every figure was named G.I. Joe, and they were all Barbie size.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was just, you had Space G.I. Joe, or you had Marine G.I. Joe, or you had Army G.I. Joe.
But I think the comic is going to give you the story that a lot of people who didn't get the originals don't right. necessarily know.
Right.
Because it's called G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, and it's apparently going to be the story of the Cobra World Order.
Yes.
So.
Well, you know, G.I. Joe did have an action team, and there were about, but the action team was only like three other guys, mm-hmm. and they all had different designations, but the oil crisis hit and the toys were too expensive to make because, you know, they were so big, yeah. and so that's the reason why they end up getting pulled. But oh, but there is one other
last quickie on one comics.
Last quickie. One last quickie before we wrap this up.
There's going to be a Robin event. DC announced an upcoming event titled Robin War, which will cross over between Robin, Son of Batman, We Are Robin, Grayson, and Gotham Academy starting in December. Cool. So, yeah, that is something.
Which is kind of big news. You don't usually tend to get the quote-unquote sidekick having its own crossover yeah. event.
Right.
But well, there's so many Robin books now.
Through the years, Robin is only a couple, what, maybe a year younger than Batman?
Yeah.
So that character's been around so long that he is his own character, or she, absolutely. Or whoever's wearing the mask.
Right.
Yeah. So you're
Robin
get
has
all
been
of
around
them.
That. Yeah. She at this point, Robin is a sidekick for Batman, but Robin's his own character.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, you have the whole We Are Robin series that came out with, where like so many all the street kids essentially are becoming Robin, and it's like we can all help.
Exactly.
Yeah. I pulled that yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
You actually did. Yeah.
Cool.
That's. I think that covers all of our major news.
Yep, and like I said, for more details on a lot, probably this and a whole lot more, check out our special edition on Saturday. It's going to be a Weeby Geeks Geek Watch 1 crossover special edition. So, I don't know how often we're going to do these special editions, but this month you're getting two of them.
Well,
so.
See, as Mike over at Mighty Marvel Geeks says, he considers Comic-Con to be the starting point of the Geek New Year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I never thought about it in that way, but yeah, it's true.
Because it gives pretty us much. All the stuff to look forward to.
All the stuff to look forward to. So Happy New Year, Geeksters. Happy New Year.
Okay, so Geeksters, thanks for sticking around. This has been a really long episode, but we'll see you on Saturday, and then we'll see you also on our regular show in 2 weeks. So, Miss Dawn, anything else before we wrap up today?
Brownie recipes. Don't forget the brownie recipes. Eat more brownies.
And Kylan, do you have anything else to before we wrap up tonight?
I have nothing.
Okay. Vicky, do you have anything else before we wrap up tonight? Okay.
TMI.
I don't think anybody heard that because luckily the music was hopped up, but... Do you feel like finishing that or repeating that one? Okay.
She'll be good.
So, Geeksters.
I'll behave. I'm going to get in trouble.
Okay, Geeksters. Like I said, thanks for listening. We've made a couple changes as we've gone through these issues. We're on... This is issue number 13. We still don't get... you guys, we put out the email every show. Send us an email back. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. If we've done something once and we've never done it again, let us know. We want you to be as much part of this show as we are. So the only way we can do that is through feedback. Now, you can get a hold of us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram like you have been, and we've had plenty of responses on there, but we don't get emails.
We want emails. Give me something to read.
I'm a Sith Lord.
Oh. And you can email me anything.
Exactly.
And we'll read it on the air. Honestly, anything.
Miss Dawn loves emails. So send your emails to KylanandKen@gmail.com.
That's right.
Also, you can get all the information about where we're going to be. We pop in the next week or so, probably, we're going to put up a couple of new Kylan and Ken in the Wild events we're possibly going to be going to. Mm-hmm. So if you check www.geekwatch1.com, that's where you get all the information where we're going to be, where we've been, what we're doing. Everything's on the website.
What?
Oh, hang on. Vicky's got something again.
You and I were in the wild the other day, and you took a picture of me.
Huh? Oh, well, we'll show them here that in a minute.
As we we are going to be in 2 weeks. 2 weeks we're going to be at Geek Fest at the Akron Public Library.
Oh, that's right. Kylan and I will be at Geek Fest in a couple of weeks. On July 25th at the Akron Public Library main branch downtown Akron, we'll be there. You know, come say hi, get a sticker, answer some trivia, all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And that, if you're real lucky, they'll be actually recording some there also, so you may be able to actually hear yourself on Geek Watch 1.
Yep. That's right.
Also, and I believe it's 2 weeks after that, on August 8th, we will be at... Is it August 8th? Come on,
we haven't
Dawn.
Confirmed yet.
Come on.
We weren't going to confirm that.
Oh, okay. Well, then stay tuned for that one. Okay, to get a hold of us. Now, remember, like I said, www.geekwatch1.com. Kylan and Ken on Gmail, or at gmail.com. Also, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is Kylan and Ken. You can get a hold of us. You can listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher at GeekWatch1. Now, the more you give us ratings, especially those 5-star ratings on iTunes, the more we'll show up in everybody else's list on what you should listen to. So, I believe that's all of our... you can also find us on the TangentBoundNetwork.com, which if you go to TangentBoundNetwork.com, they have a brand new website up and running with the channel listing with all the different podcasts that are in the different channels. They have over 65 or more... podcasts on the network now. Also, we're on the Weeby Geeks network, WeebyGeeks.com. You find us on there. So, for Miss Dawn, for Kylan, for Vicky, for myself, remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.